a chariot, a teacher, and water.
Grab your Bible and let's talk.
Welcome to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast, where Bible study and thought-provoking conversation lead to creative teaching. Now, here are your hosts, David and Mary Nelson.
We're glad that you joined us today in this episode of Bible Glitter and Glue. We're in the book of Acts, and Mary, the story we're going to be talking about today is a wonderful story. It's about a person who overcame many obstacles to become a follower of Jesus. And one thing of note about this man is that he really wanted to know his Bible. He was reading it, he didn't understand it, and he asked someone to help him understand. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Oh, wow. I can really relate to that. There are many things I read in the Bible. Even after all these years, I think, I'm not sure if I exactly understand it. And that's why I really enjoy having these times together, because we can discuss some of those things and toss some ideas back and forth. I know if you're listening to this, you already believe in the Word of God, you're interested in it, and you want to learn more. Let's get into it. Maybe we should just read this one, David.
Okay. Our story today is Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40.
How about I read the setup and the ending, and then you read the meat of the story in the middle?
Okay.
All right. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. The angel said, "Get ready and go south. Go to the road that leads down to Gaza from Jerusalem, the desert road." So Philip got ready and went. On the road, he saw a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch. He was an important officer in the service of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He was responsible for taking care of all her money. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and now he was on his way home. He was sitting in his chariot and reading from the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it."
So Philip ran toward the chariot. He heard the man reading from Isaiah, the prophet. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He answered, "How can I understand? I need someone to explain it to me." Then he invited Philip to climb in and sit with him. The verse of scripture that he was reading was this: "He was like a sheep being led to be killed. He was quiet as a sheep is quiet while its wool is being cut. He said nothing. He was shamed and was treated unfairly. He died without children to continue his family. His life on earth has ended." The officer said to Philip, "Please tell me, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or about someone else?" Philip began to speak. He started with the same scripture and told the man the good news about Jesus. While they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The officer said, "Look, here is water. What's stopping me from being baptized?" Philip answered, "If you believe with all your heart, you can." The officer said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then the officer commanded the chariot to stop. Both Philip and the officer went down into the water, and Philip baptized him.
When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. The officer never saw him again. The officer continued on his way home, full of joy. But Philip appeared in a city called Azotus and preached the good news in all the towns on the way from Azotus to Caesarea.
Wow, what a wonderful story.
Well, there's a lot going on in there. I think maybe first, I'm impressed with the geography of all this. In our last episode, we talked about Philip being in Samaria, and now he's having to go very far south. An angel came and gave him directions and said, "Go down to this desert road between Jerusalem and Gaza. So he went. He did just as the angel said, but it's a long way.
Yeah, and he caught up with this person in a chariot.
Yeah, because he really would have had to catch up, wouldn't he? This Ethiopian had been to Jerusalem, and then he was going south again through Gaza on his way back to Ethiopia, which is down in Africa, the northern part of Africa, south of Egypt, in the area now we know as modern-day Sudan, Eritrea, Djibouti, Ethiopia, Somalia, all that area south of Egypt, that's Ethiopia. Wow, look how this is all spreading around. We're talking about a big geographic area now. Everything started in Jerusalem, but it's spreading.
You know, you mentioned that it was crossing barriers, like geographical barriers, and also ethnic barriers. And here we're introduced to someone that really Luke's first readers would have found very fascinating, this Ethiopian eunuch. He's from the ends of the earth. He would have been a black African. To the people in the Greco-Roman world, they were considered exotic people. They were very fascinated with them.
Since he's in this important position in Ethiopia, serving the courts and the queen, then he would have been dressed richly, having a chariot. He could read. He was an educated man. What an interesting man.
And he was also a eunuch. That made him a special kind of person. As a eunuch, he would have been castrated. He could not have children. Eunuchs were very common in court context. And so he was a very important person in the court of the queen, Queen Kandeke. And Kandeke is not her name. It's actually a title of the dynasty. He is a very important person, and he is a eunuch, and he had been to Jerusalem to worship. This poses something interesting. It's hard to know exactly what his situation is. Often people assume that he's a proselyte to the Jewish faith. The proselyte is a Gentile who had converted to the Jewish faith. But we can't assume that because if we go back into the law, in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 1, it forbids eunuchs to be part of the covenant. They shall not come into the assembly of my people. He was a worshiper of God, and he did have a great faith because he came all the way to Jerusalem to worship. But he could only worship at a distance, never as a full participant in the covenant. And when he was in Jerusalem, in the whole temple precinct area, he would have only been allowed to go into the court of Gentiles no further than that. He was returning from Jerusalem, going back home, and he was reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now, this is significant because, first of all, scrolls were expensive, and so he has a very precious, very expensive object. And another question is, was the scroll written in Hebrew or in Greek? By this time, there was a common translation of the Hebrew scripture into the Greek language. This translation was done by Jewish scholars about 250 to 150 BC in Alexandria, Egypt. It's called the Septuagint. So this may be a copy of the Greek text of Isaiah. Having a copy of this scroll and reading it indicates his education and his high status.
There's the wealth and the education and the prestige. But I'm just trying to think, David, here's a man who could not fully participate in all of the parts of worship, in all the places. And yet with all of this prestige, it seems like a humble place, an acceptance that he still wants to worship God. It doesn't matter that he's not of high prestige when he goes to Jerusalem. It doesn't matter that he's not allowed in some places. Wow, the humility of this man to live that kind of life, to have that kind of faith and desire to know more about God, I think that says a lot about this man.
It does. And talking about his humility, when Philip comes up to the chariot, he hears the eunuch reading, and then Philip asks him the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he had the humility to say, "No, I don't. I need someone to help me understand." He was a man who had humility.
And that's the best learner. Whether I'm teaching children or you're teaching adults, you and I personally, if we are not willing to learn, if we are not able to say, I don't know, I want to know more, if we can't do that, it stunts our growth. We can't really learn until we realize we just don't know.
He had the humility to say, I don't understand. I need someone to help me. And Philip was in that position to be able to help him and to be able to explain to him what the scripture is saying.
Philip was really a good choice of someone to teach this man. When you think about Philip, he was one of the seven that was chosen earlier in Acts to help take care of a problem that had erupted in the church with feeding widows. So Philip was chosen because of his faith. He was a spiritual man. Later, we find that he went to Samaria and preached there. He left Jerusalem. He was one of the ones that first went out and shared this message further afield. He was a person that had experience teaching people about Jesus.
The Ethiopian official invites Philip up into the chariot, and they began a Bible study.
I find it really noteworthy that they began this study from the scripture that this man was reading. It wasn't just a pre-planned sermon that Philip always did. He says, okay, this is where your interest is. This is where your heart is. We're going to start right in this place.
And so the specific text that is quoted in Acts chapter 8, verse 32 and 33 comes from Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. And this whole section in Isaiah, which begins much earlier and goes through several chapters, is where the Bible study was centered at. And I can understand why this official might be confused, because in chapter 53, in fact, 52, verse 12 through all of chapter 53 is the well-known passage known as the suffering servant. There's actually several speakers, and I can understand why he's confused who is speaking. Philip preaches to him Jesus from the scroll of Isaiah. These chapters tell about the good news of God. And so he tells the story of King Jesus. And Philip can do it because he's familiar with the Bible. He can do it because he's familiar with what Isaiah is saying. This whole section forms the foundation for understanding who Jesus is and what he came to do. And I want to know, how many of us, or can I, teach about Jesus just using the Old Testament or just using the scroll or the book of Isaiah?
I wonder, David, if the Ethiopian had been in the book of Isaiah many times, because even though this passage he was having a hard time understanding, I'm thinking of Isaiah chapter 56, because that specifically talks about God welcoming people just like this, specifically eunuchs, saying that they can come to him and worship. Do you have that passage there?
Yeah, Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8, but in particular, it's verse 3 and 4 that specifically mentions someone like himself. It says in verse 3, foreigners have joined the Lord. They should not say, the Lord will not accept me with his people. The eunuch should not say, because I cannot have children, the Lord will not accept me. So we have this promise of salvation, this promise of deliverance. And then in verse 4, it says, reading on, this is what the Lord says. The eunuchs should obey the law about the Sabbath. They should do what I want. They should keep my agreement. If they do, I will make their names remembered within my temple and its walls. It would be better for them than children. I will give them a name that will last forever. It will never be forgotten.
That is a verse to remember. I'm sure that this man knew that verse too. He knew he was drawn to God. He knew that there was a place for him. It might look different than other people, but he was already drawn to God. And so he must have been so happy to have Philip join him and share the further depth of the scripture for him.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I can understand how he can apply this to his situation. And he had just been to Jerusalem, where he was prevented from being embraced fully into the covenant. But here, from the lips of Philip, from the text of scripture he was reading, there is a promise that God makes that when the Messiah comes, that God's people, God's renewed people, will embrace foreigners and even people like himself.
As the conversation continues, we don't know exactly what was said. We know Philip continued to teach him. David, there's something I noticed in my Bible in this International Children's Version that there's some brackets here around one of the verses.
Verse 37, yes, is in brackets. Most English translations don't have verse 37, and most of them actually in a footnote might have verse 37, because verse 37 was probably added later. It was probably written as a marginal comment, and then it was somehow ended up into the text, but it's not part of the original book of Acts, but it does convey probably what happened. Philip, because the eunuch wants to be baptized, and so Philip says, well, you can if you believe, and then the eunuch probably made a confession about who he believes Jesus is. He is the one who came to rescue God's people.
David, you brought up baptism, and I think that's really interesting that they're on this desert road. There wouldn't have been much water around, but they would have been talking about baptism in some way because they come upon water, an oasis or something like that. But immediately, this man sees an opportunity, and he says he wants to be baptized.
And so he commands the chariot to stop, and it does. And both Philip and this man go into the water, and Philip immerses this man, and they come up out of the water, and they go their separate ways.
That's right. So he's rejoicing. He's so happy, but he never sees Philip again. It's interesting. It says here that Philip basically just disappeared.
It seems odd, doesn't it?
Well, that doesn't happen every day. Philip had happened. I'm putting quotation marks in the air. He happened to be in the right place at the right time because an angel led him there. It was really why, but now he needs to be somewhere else, and he just disappears. So Philip goes on north, and this official continues on south. They're going two different directions. Again, just indicating to me how the gospel message, the good news of Jesus, is going every direction. Because you know this man is going to go on to tell others about Jesus back in Ethiopia.
Oh, yeah. We have this good news being announced everywhere, God's Spirit working and leading people. Boundaries are being crossed. Obstacles are being overcome, whether they're external obstacles or internal, whether the boundaries are geographical or status or ethnic. The gospel is for all people, even for people who come from the ends of the earth, even for people that have been hindered in the past from becoming a full participant of God's people. Now in Jesus, they can, which means you can and I can.
That's right. And so he goes south, Philip goes north. Philip goes on and continues to preach all the way from Azotus all the way up to Caesarea. And it's years later that we'll hear more about Philip and his life there. He goes on. He never stops preaching. And we are left with another ending here that's really kind of a beginning. So, David, as you're teaching adults, what would you do to present this story to help this come alive to your students?
We've been talking about the humility of reading the Scripture and having someone to help us understand the Scripture. Coming to understand the Scripture is a community activity. We need to be in conversation with one another as we're reading the Scripture and talking about it so we can together come to understand the Scripture more deeply. To get maybe a feel for what this Ethiopian official was reading and the challenge that Philip faced is have the class read out loud this whole section of Isaiah. Not just 53, but probably a larger section. Let's just say, read from Isaiah 52, verse 7, all the way through chapter 56 and verse 8. Because the official would have read this section and probably even a larger section. So you can divide the text into smaller units and have different class members read different parts. And then after you read it, you might want to read it a couple of times. Just ask the class, how would you teach about Jesus using only this section from Isaiah? Or how would you teach about Jesus using only the book of Isaiah? So that's a challenge.
That would be a challenge. I'm wondering, David, if I was an adult in your class, I think I'd like to see a map, if I make that suggestion. It really wasn't until I kind of dug into this and started looking at maps that I started thinking about where Philip was when this started and where this official was, where Ethiopia was. There are all these places mentioned. And until you see that on a map, I think it's hard to realize all the back and forth and the directions they're going. I found that helpful. I found that distracting in a way because I started getting into looking up other maps and Google Maps and the history of Ethiopia. There is so much background information in this passage. I'm sure your students would really love to hear some of that.
You know, that's a good suggestion. And I think what we can do is in the show notes, we can provide a link to some good Bible maps.
Well, for children, again, I think I'd show them maps too, just to get a general idea. They may have heard of Ethiopia, although those boundaries have changed. We can still find Africa. We can see how far that is from Jerusalem, from Palestine. So I think that would be interesting to do just for knowledge. A couple of things I thought of. If you like to do crafts, well, this is a great time to just do a little research and find out about making a chariot or making a scroll. The Ethiopian was reading from a scroll, so you might could do that in your class. The idea of someone helping us understand scripture is something I want to talk about with children. I mean, there's a lot in the Bible that children don't understand. They hear sermons they don't understand. They hear adults talking about things they don't understand. This is their world. I would want to encourage people to ask teachers, ask elders, ask other Christians, ask their parents what things mean. If they don't understand something, ask what it means. It's always good to ask questions. I will say that a lot of teachers get thrown when children read this and say, well, what is a eunuch? And, you know, if you've never been kind of put on the spot, that can throw you a little bit. And for me, I answer questions like that in a genuine way because they've been asked in a genuine way. So if it's a very young child, I would just say, oh, that's the officials when they were helping the queen. They would be eunuchs. That would mean they wouldn't have any girlfriends. They would just be serving the queen. I'd just say that. A little bit older, I might go more into they had an operation so that they couldn't have children, couldn't be dads. And, you know, if it's a genuine question, I might even be a little bit more blatant with that with older kids and talk about, well, this is called castration, and go into that. But, you know, if I do something like that, I would always go to the parents after and say, this is what we talked about in class, because that's something the parents would probably want to follow up and talk about. But we don't ever want children to not ask questions. In the same way this man was willing to ask, we want children to ask questions, children and adults. Even if that might be a little embarrassing, that's a time you can answer. It is in the Bible.
It is. And I want to be that person that asks questions too, because you really can't learn without asking questions.
That's right. Other Christians who have studied, they might help shine some light on things that I haven't seen. And so it's just great to talk about those things. And I enjoy doing that with you, David. And I'm so glad for all of you who join into these conversations. I feel like you're here with us. We try to anticipate what questions you might have. But thanks for joining us today. God bless you as you speak into the lives of children and adults.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast. Subscribe now to listen to new weekly episodes and visit missionbibleclass.org for more free resources to help you share God's Word with children.